Welcome in to Arrowhead Pride Radio.
And Mahomes is on fire!
Here's the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens.
I don't know why I did that. I'm good. Man, it's Wednesday, man. I got a two-hour show following the greatest hour of the week on 610 Sports Radio with one of the greatest people that covers the Chiefs.
That's a lot of energy for the bye week.
Have you ever met anybody like me?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, you're unique.
Unique New York.
That's a good thing to be.
Unique? Not for everybody.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess. But this is the
you got your own thing going on.
Okay. I don't know why you turn into like Stewie Griffin out of nowhere. you want to go another show? No. Arrowhead Pride Radio Show, Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, the chief editor, the whole thing at Arrowhead Pride here on 610 Sports Radio up until 7 o'clock. Then from 7 to 9 is after hours. I do have a mild rant.
Well, I better rush to my car and make sure I
get
it.
I'll give you some time. I know you're. What do you think your 40-yard dash is, by the way?
Oh, it's bad.
You think it's under six?
I will tell you this. I actually am a decent distance runner.
You're not.
I am.
When's the last time you ran for more than a mile?
I did a half marathon last year.
Did you really?
Yeah, 2 hours. I
don't know if that's good or not.
I am a terrible sprinter. I think I would probably be above 8 seconds. If I could believe that, I think I'd be between 8 and 9 seconds.
I walk slash jog 2 miles a day.
Wow.
And I do it in about 26 minutes. I think that's terrible.
No, that's okay.
But to me, that's all right. That's about a 14 to 15 minute mile.
It's not great.
But I'm not running.
It's not bad.
I don't want shin splints.
Yeah. I don't want plantar fasciitis.
Fasciitis.
Fasciitis. Yeah, I don't, enough of that half marathon training. Although I probably... probably going to train for a race this year or something.
They say speed walking is much better.
Maybe a 10K.
Than jogging.
Speed walking, like Oprah.
Does she speed walk?
I think she invented it.
Really?
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yep.
Oprah Winfrey gets everything.
Mm-hmm.
Book club, you get a car.
She gets everything.
All right. So.
Can you tell us the bye week?
Yeah, right. But anyways, we haven't been on since last Wednesday, and none of the stuff really had happened or been clarified yet, but you're the one seed, and you have a bye week. Yeah. Is there anything more important than that in this time of the year?
Well,
because home field advantage is irrelevant right now.
Yeah, no, I think that the circumstances of getting there were tough, right? No one wanted to see what happened. I think everyone wishes that they could have played out the games had DeMar Hamlin not had to be taken off to a hospital and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. The NFL came up with what they decided. I think the Chiefs made out just fine. I know that there's people here that are, upset about the fact that if Buffalo wins the two games and the Chiefs win their game, that it'll be a neutral site. Sounds like it's going to be in Atlanta. The bottom line.
Really? That's where it's going to be? We already know, pretty sure?
It's sounding like that, yeah.
Okay. I guess we can talk about that a little later on in the show.
Yeah. So I think the Chiefs are in pretty good position here, right? I think the main thing, even more than it being at Arrowhead, if it does end up being Chiefs-Bills, was it not being in Buffalo, in my opinion. That's just how I felt. I didn't want to see the Chiefs have to go to Buffalo. So they don't. We know that. And here's the thing, too. Seems less likely right now with the whole quarterback situation in Miami, but Buffalo has to win their two games. The Chiefs have to win their game. They're going to face a pretty good opponent, we think, next week, be it the Jags, the Chargers, could be the Ravens, just depending on how things go. And we may not even get to the idea of it being in Atlanta if someone upsets either team. So we'll see about it. I think right now, and what the Chiefs are rightfully focused on, since we were able to talk to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, they're not worried about any neutral site having to had three results happen to have that neutral site. They're worried about beating whatever team they'll play next week, and they're already beginning to prepare. Like, they're already watching film of the possibilities.
Can I ask you a tough on-the-spot question?
Of course.
Where do you rank this Patrick Mahomes-led football team in his first 5 years?
Because
it's going to be an MVP season, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Most yards he's ever thrown. Broke Drew Brees' record. Maybe not the most yards he's ever thrown, but he broke Drew Brees' record for all-purpose yards.
Yeah, I think you got to call the 19 team the best, I think. The 20 team, because of that offensive line that they had at the end, I think they're out of the running, although that was a very good team too. Last year's team was really good. You talk about that AFC title game.
Uh-huh.
I'd almost put last year's club even ahead of the Super Bowl team. Like, the fact that they blew that lead in the AFC title is such a
sickening
shame. That team was – team last year was good. This could be the best team.
That's what I'm kind of wondering. Is this the best all-around team?
All-around.
Under Mahomes and Reed.
Well-rounded. And especially, I think, toward the end here where you're seeing – you're seeing, finally, last game, the special teams was good. They didn't make any mistakes. Tommy Townsend punted well. Harrison Butker was perfect. The defense played well. They should play well against bad teams. They did that in the final game. The offense did have that little bit of that mid-game trud, that muck, but they got through it, and they were able to score another touchdown. And I never really have doubts about the Chiefs' offense in the playoffs, because I do think there is an extent of Andy Reid bringing out some of those things that he hasn't shown yet, and it usually leads to success, especially early in the postseason. You're putting me on the spot.
I told you it was a tough on-the-spot question.
I think it would be between...
And the fact you don't even mention the 18 team.
Just because the defense was so bad.
Yeah.
I think it's between this team and last year's team, which is weird because they won the Super Bowl in 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd go maybe with this year's team from an all-around... The only thing that would give you pause is not having Tyreek Hill on this team. And is it really such an impact that it's not tipping the scale? I don't think it is, because Patrick Mahomes is going to be the MVP, and I think he's enough. So I'll give the all-around factor to this team, and we'll see, too. I think what's weird about that is maybe this is the best team in the Patrick Mahomes era, but you could also make the case that the other teams are as close as they've been, which is an odd thing to wrap your head around.
It's weird.
It's a new week in the NFL, which means it's time to take a look at the new injury report for the Chiefs.
This ought to be pretty short. Now, I think the only thing that they have to worry about going into the playoffs is Frank Clark, right? That's the groin injury, and then I would assume for the fifth straight week that Mecole Hardman is fine. They're waiting for the playoffs to start and waiting for... the right opportunity plus an extra week of rest, and then he'll be back. But I think the two biggest questions of the injuries that go into this, Pete, for you to kind of just have like a short go at it, because we don't know who the opponent is yet.
Yeah.
Frank Clark, Mecole Hardman, that's about it.
Well, I think we're monitoring. Right now there's no official injury report when they have the bye week. We'll get the first one for the next game. If it's a Saturday game, that'll come on Tuesday. If they end up playing on Sunday, that'll come on Wednesday, as it would every week. Right now, we are watching Frank Clark. The positive news was that Andy Reid said on Monday that Clark's groin issue is not really a big deal.
Would you describe it as mild?
It's mild. They feel like he'll be okay to go when the Chiefs resume. I believe they're getting back in the building on Friday just to move their muscles around, move their bodies around, and get back on the field. We believe Hardman will make his comeback finally since week 9. We've thought that now for about 2 to 3 weeks running, so it does still remain to be seen, but I think this bye week helps. You don't have to worry about him maybe being ready or not. Sky Moore had this laceration that kept him out of the last game, so we're watching Sky Moore too. It's a cut, right? It sounds like it's a bad cut that, as Andy Reid described, needed sutures, which I know you like. Yeah, cut his hand.
Between the finger and the index finger and the thumb, right?
Yeah, so I think that's...
Was it made by a seam thrown by Patrick Mahomes?
Could be.
You think so?
Could be he took his hand off. Who knows? So anyway, this thing, it just is needed to heal and close. And once again, I keep saying the same thing, but I think the bye week helps that. I think Sky Moore's probably back in the mix to an extent when they resume official practices. And Harry Butker, right? He did a nice job. He was a concern about... his issue with his
job. That guy was out there practicing, and Butker came down and was like, you know what, actually, I'm kicking today.
Yeah, well, he had the ankle and then had back spasms, but he looked pretty good in the last game on Saturday. So I think Butker will be okay by the time we get going here. And so for me, I think you might be eyeing full health on the 53 at least by the time we get there. We're still... In a way, wondering what they do with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jody Fortson. Seems more likely, if anything, that Fortson potentially could be back in the mix more so than Edwards-Helaire. But as far as the 53 goes, I expect to be pretty healthy when they resume, and that's the beauty of the bye.
That is the injury report that is non-existing this week because there is a bye week. Do you think they're playing Saturday or Sunday? Like, what hunch do you get? Because you got to have Mahomes at some point in prime time, and he's probably playing the Jags.
Yeah.
Or if he's playing the Chargers, you got to put that bad boy on at Sunday night.
I think that if he plays the Jaguars or the Chargers, which is what we tend to expect, yeah. I tend to think it's going to be the Jaguars. But even though it's not Mahomes and Herbert, I even still think that Mahomes and Lawrence would get primetime treatment. It takes a lot for Mahomes to be taken out of a primetime game. So
yeah, Russell Wilson.
Yeah. So I tend to think Saturday night, unless something crazy happens.
Saturday night is when you think they'll play?
I do.
Okay.
Or unless something crazy happens where Skylar Thompson has a miracle upset of the Bills and then suddenly Mahomes and Bridgewater, or
yeah.
If the Ravens were to somehow win and Lamar Jackson still wouldn't be ready, then maybe they would do something else with the game. But I think if it's the Chiefs and the Jags or the Chargers, which is what we tend to expect, I think they get the primetime treatment.
It's Pete Sweeney, the chief editor of Arrowhead Pride. Coming up next is the lead film analyst, Ron Kopp Jr., or as people know him here on the show as RKJ. Woo! He'll join us next here on 610 Sports Radio, which is Arrowhead Pride Radio on a Wednesday night in 610 Sports Radio City, baby. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up at 7, I have a cool Patrick Mahomes story you're going to want to hear. He's just a bro. I want to hang out with Mahomes, not because of the superstardom, but because I think he does things that I do very similar.
You guys both make smash burgers on your grill?
I bet he could. I bet he's got one of like the nicest Blackstones in the world.
Well, he has a chef. So.
Mm-hmm. He does have a chef?
Yeah.
Yeah. Straight up, no BS?
Yes.
God.
Yes.
I want to be rich for like
the MVP
a week.
Quarterback of this NFL team that plays here has a chef, yes.
That is. You think Kelsey's got a chef?
Yes.
Who does? I'm kidding. Anyways, somebody who definitely doesn't have a chef, Ron Kopp Jr.
Well, we don't know that. Ron?
Ron didn't have a chef. You had to do it.
You don't know that, Dusty. I do chef up myself a little bit. I can do it myself. The wife does too. Shout out the wife. She definitely can.
Who's the better cook between you two?
Oh, no.
Oh, I mean her. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
just submitted immediately.
Easy answer.
Yeah, he's gonna be married for a long time.
Yeah, that's good.
I make a mean pasta. I make a mean, scrambled egg. I can do that very well.
Gordon Ramsay says you got to do the eggs on and off the burner, on and off the burner. That's how you're supposed to master the scrambled egg.
Mm. Well, that's not what I do, but I think I got the strategy down. So I'm gonna stick with mine. I'm gonna stick with my strategy.
I put a little splash of milk and an ass load of pepper. Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. The more pepper, the better. I will say.
Agreed, yeah.
I tend to think whenever I over pepper, it turns out great. So I'm with you on that, Pete, for sure.
Okay. Speaking of a lot of pepper, this team threw it around a lot. Mahomes obviously set the all-purpose record yardage for all-purpose yards against Drew Brees' number, and then the defense went from not being able to sack the quarterback to being able to sack the quarterback. Ron, I ask you this question to start off tonight: where do you think this team is as the playoffs start?
Man, I was very encouraged with the Week 18 performance. It was a great thing seeing all three units come together for a final push. Because, I think it's so used to, as Chiefs fans, we're so used to Week 18 not meaning as much, even if they are having to win to secure their seed. Maybe sometimes it's maybe not as it doesn't feel as, vital, I guess. But this week, the Raiders coming in, I thought it was going to be a great game. And I thought the Chiefs really needed to bring their A game, and they did. The offense obviously scored, 4-for-4 in the red zone, rushing yards from everywhere. They had, a lot from Kadarius Toney as well as the running backs. And then obviously no turnovers. And then the defense, the pass rush continued to get momentum. I think that's one of the most encouraging things. I mean, Carl Loftus obviously, finishing the season strong with how many sacks he's had. He had 6.5 for a second. They brought him down to half. But, 6.5, or 6, just in that number, that's one of the highest a defensive end under Spags has done. I mean, Frank Clark got to 8, I think, in the first year under Spags. But, you know, we haven't gotten that from a defensive end under Spags. So it's really good to see him as a rookie finish the season strong, get that. And then obviously the special team, man. No muff punts. You know, see Tommy Townsend celebrating because he's getting 2 punts inside the 5. I mean, it was really cool to see all 3 units finish strong going into the postseason in a game where they really needed to win. And it's not like the Raiders were just laying down. They really wanted to come out and win, too. I think the Chiefs really just played their A game to finish the season strong.
Yeah, you could see the Raiders wanted to win. I think that was obvious, and I think they needed the confidence from all 3 phases playing well. If I'm nitpicking here, and this is clearly nitpicking, Ron, about the offense these past few weeks, good at the beginning of the game, and then there is a little bit of that sludge coming out of the half. This game, they had touchdown, punt, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, and then 2 punts out of the half before a touchdown, another punt. What do you make of that mid-game sludge that they've been needing to get through, and they have these past 2 weeks, but what have you made of it?
Right. No, you mentioned second half. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Mahomes just, you know, I wrote about it, but just very, you know, uncharacteristically inaccurate. And it was weird. And, you know, it's New Year's Day, and I kind of maybe we joke that maybe, you know, hey, you know, the day after New Year's Eve, you know, and I know that story, Dusty, you're telling later. I think I know what you're talking about. And I think that might be contributing to, you know, a New Year's Eve kind of a nice little good time, I should say. But all that to say is, you know, there is probably something to a team that's been to the playoffs. Mahomes, this MVP quarterback, obviously been to the AFC Championships 4 straight times. And probably towards the end of the season, man, I'm sure, you know, and that's, I think it is true. You do probably, you know, it's probably hard to focus for all 4 quarters. It's probably hard to lock in, you know, get that playoff mentality, that playoff itch, you know, all 4 quarters. And I do think that's what we're going to see in the postseason. I have confidence that, you know, we're going to see that locked in mentality all 4 quarters. I do think maybe it's just easy to kind of, you know, get off, kind of just not be able to lock in all 4 quarters, especially when you build a lead like they have been able to in certain games the down the stretch.
Ron, as Ron Kopp Jr., lead film analyst of Arrowhead Pride, joins the Arrowhead Pride radio show here on a Wednesday night, 610 Sports Radio. When you look at this defense and the kind of the way that it affected it, maybe its run last year, I know it was only a 3-point loss in the playoffs in the AFC Championship game, but again, pressure getting to Joe Burrow, and it seems like the road to the playoffs this year is going to be either a rematch of a Western team that you're familiar with, or it's going to be maybe a new team that you've already played this year in Jacksonville. And then after that, you're going to get probably most likely, looking at the picture, Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, all of which are quarterbacks that you need to get pressure on. And it seems that in these last 4 games, the defense has done a very, very decent job at getting pressure. In fact, 6 sacks, I believe, is what it was last week against the Raiders. Is that kind of like the main focus that you're going forward in the playoffs is to be able to get Chris Jones that first playoff sack and contain pressure on quarterbacks and then let the offense do its thing?
Right. You know, it is amazing Jones hasn't gotten one yet.
0.
You know, and you don't think – you don't really look at him as a, oh, he doesn't show up in the postseason, because you think of him as a really big impact in the Super Bowl championship, that game specifically. But you're right. You know, I think the theme of the times you've lost to the Bills and Bengals, you know, this season, I just think the pass rush is just one of the main things. Like, they just weren't able to create enough havoc on the quarterbacks. I think Josh Allen in the first game, they blitzed and they got pressure on him. I think he started 0-for-7 against the blitz, I believe was the stat. And you saw how effective it was. Towards the end of the game, you couldn't get to it. And it's because you can't just blitz the entire game. Spags knows he couldn't do that. He was, you know, he was playing his hand a little bit at first, and then Josh Allen adjusted to it. You can't blitz the entire game. You have to be able to eventually get pressure with your front 4. And, you know, hey, they haven't faced the competition in terms of pass protection that the Bills have, or even the Bengals, though they have been banged up now. The Bengals did feature, you know, get a couple injuries on their offensive line the past couple of weeks. But, you know, I do think even with the competition maybe a little worse, you know, Denver's offensive line isn't very good, Raiders isn't either. It was good to see them gain confidence. You know, Mike Dana, another guy that, man, he is an X-factor kind of guy, you know, and as another interior rusher alongside Jones, just being able to beat a guard one-on-one when the center is you know, helping out the other guard with Jones. Dana can do it, man. And so I just feel like there is juice to this pass rush right now, and they're building confidence momentum. And Karlaftis, again, I'll say it again, but, you know, hey, he's not a rookie anymore. Justin Reed said it best, and he's 17 games in, and he's playing like a guy that's been in the NFL for a few years.
Pete Sweeney talking with Ron Kopp. Dusty Likens also here. Ron is our lead analyst at Arrowhead Pride, so be sure to check out his work there. Ron, the possible opponents, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Baltimore Ravens, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Miami Dolphins, who do you want to see, and who do you think the Chiefs will play?
Oh, man, you know, of course you want to see either of those teams that unfortunately look like are going to start backup quarterbacks this weekend, right? The wild card games, the Ravens and the Dolphins. Tua obviously has been announced out, but you know, I do think we all want to see a Bills or Bengals rematch. You know, you don't want to avoid it. You want to come that, you know, come straight on. So you assume those are going to happen. You look at the Jags Chargers game. You absolutely want to see the Jaguars. I think the Chargers part of this, you know, you like the fact that, you know, hey, you've seen them before, you're familiar with them, but they're familiar with you too. And as much, you know, heat as Brandon Staley gets as a head coach, he is a great defensive strategist, especially against the Chiefs. He knows how to mess with them. He has given Mahomes fits. You know, I know, you know, that the game in Los Angeles was a little different than the game in Kansas City. The offense was definitely more, you know, able to get stuff going. But Staley knows how to dial it up. And their pass rush, Mac and Bosa are both healthy now. And I think that's one of the key things. We just talked about the Chiefs pass rush. I think if you're the Chiefs offense, you know, if you're talking about who you want to play, you just want to avoid any sort of pass rush, right? Let's avoid the best pass rushers. And the Chargers might have the best edge rushers in the playoffs, Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack together. The Jaguars don't have, you know, they have Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker, two, you know, good players as well, but just not the same level as the Chargers. So you definitely want to see the Jaguars, but unfortunately, I do think the Chargers – you know, have the talent and are kind of playing at the level where they can take care of business this weekend, and it's setting up for a nervous but exciting, you know, matchup in the divisional round.
Okay, bye week in the playoffs. Does your boss give you a bye week, or do you have something coming up for Arrowhead Pride?
Oh, yeah, no, he'd give us definitely a little, you know, look, there's not as much guy going on, right? Look, but yeah, it's playoff mode, Dusty. That's the thing. We don't need a bye week. We don't want a bye week.
Let's go, baby.
Our
let's go.
Our film guys are definitely cranking out stuff. No, we got tons of stuff going out. We have AP Film Room, our YouTube show, just a you know, a little playoff preview we released today. But, mm-hmm, yeah, I'll have a five things to watch for Wild Card Weekend, a red zone offense article coming out tomorrow probably, you know, just looking at the Chiefs red zone, how it, you know, can maybe even be better in the playoffs, you know, better than it has been even in the regular season when they rank second in the league. So got a ton of stuff coming up. So no bye week for us, Dusty. Come on.
All right. Well, I mean, I'd love to hear that. No days off. Well, hey, Ron, stay beautiful. Continue to be a good scrambled eggs expert. And again, we will talk to you next Wednesday with a little bit more of a serious tone.
Oh, yeah. No, yes, sir. Locked in next week.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Hey, no problem, man. Have fun with life. That's Ron Kopp of Arrowhead Pride.
We're going to talk to him next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said, with the more serious. So the playoffs are like more serious next week.
Have fun with life is feels like a close, you know.
I'm not doing good tonight on the microphone. I'm like, I'll be honest with you. It has not been a good night for me.
Ron is a scrambled eggs expert, as you can tell, though. That's a good thing to know how to do.
Yeah. I like scrambled eggs, too. When I was six. Coming up after this, I'm going to ask Pete. I'm kidding, man.
I'm an over easy man.
Big time. I need runny yolk and I need toast. That's okay. What I need, man. Come on now. Right. Anyways, Arrowhead Pride Radio here on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the playoff picture and where the Chiefs might actually play this neutral site game.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Hey, this is Brett Veach, and you're listening to the official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on Arrowhead Pride Radio, trying to polish up this speaking. I think maybe it's the Skittles. Top three at least candy rank.
You're a Skittle man.
Mm, big time. I'm like Marshawn Lynch. Mm. Just not like beast mode. Mm. But I do like me some Skids.
I'm an M&M man.
Boring. Peanut butter M&Ms, just like plain M&Ms. Like, what are we doing here?
I like the plain M&Ms. I know. Okay. That a lot of people love those peanut butter M&Ms, but I'm more of a classic M&M man.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Melt in your mouth, not your hand.
Right.
Big time. So the AFC West, or the AFC West, the AFC playoff picture, let's see if I can do this at the top of my head. Cincinnati, Baltimore, coin flip game. Buffalo, Miami, no Tua, Josh Allen and company riding the wave of we got hosed in the one seed situation. They've got that on their side. And then the other game, which is the game that has potentially the most impact on the Chiefs, Jags, Chargers. Let's start with that one first.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence versus Justin Herbert. Jags have kind of...
Well, I'm sure we're going to get to Bengals and Ravens. I don't know if I would call a coin flip just because Lamar still, as of today, is not practicing for the Ravens. So if Lamar doesn't play, they're going to lose. But Chargers-Jaguars is to me, a coin flip game. I think a lot of people are picking L.A. just thinking that they're going to roll over Jacksonville. I was watching that game the other night after the Chiefs game, and when we got through the Chiefs coverage for the web and the radio and everything like that, I was able to really lock in what was the third and fourth quarter. And I thought the home field advantage for Jacksonville was better than I had remembered it. And that crowd was rocking. I don't know where all these Jags fans came from, but they were into the game, and I think it could be a slight advantage. I don't think Trevor Lawrence played particularly well against the Tennessee Titans. Am I going to kill him for that? No, I don't think the Chiefs really always play the Titans well. I think Mike Vrabel comes in with a good plan. I think this is really gearing up to maybe be the best playoff game of the weekend, Jags and Chargers, just between Trevor Lawrence, who, again, to me, has really emerged. People know how I feel about Justin Herbert. I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. And you have these two teams who I think are right there with each other. So to me, it's going to be a shootout. To me, it's going to be the best game of the weekend.
Chargers, Jags.
I like the Jaguars, though. And that seems.
You think a shootout?
Yes.
Without Mike Williams?
Yeah.
What do you think about that, by the way?
What's that?
Are you okay with Staley's decision to be like, eh?
You know what? I've not been a Staley guy. I think he outthinks himself sometimes. But for me, at this stage, you know your team best. And so I'm not going to kill him for whatever decision he makes at this stage.
Cincinnati, Baltimore, Lamar Jackson doing the whole, I'm not fully ready to come back because I'm not healthy. Hey. Or is it more so like, you had a chance to pay me, I'm a quarterback, good luck.
Well, I think if he was actually healthy and not, whatever he is, he's sub 100%. And so I think in his mind, he's saying, am I going to risk getting injured further with no contract?
Right.
Am I going to play through that injury? And it's hard to kill him for that. You know, we don't have all the things that happen behind the scenes. It's weird to say this, but I think this is what's happening with that whole situation. It dates back to the offseason. Is look no further than Cleveland. Cleveland gave an all guaranteed contract to that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That guy from the Houston Texans.
Right? Weirdo, creep.
Mm-hmm. And so why wouldn't Lamar want that? And how could you blame him for that? And how could you blame him now when he doesn't have a contract locked up? And if that is the case where he's not wanting to put his best foot forward, like, I understand this is the NFL. I understand this is what you work your whole life to get to. But we don't kill these college kids for opting out anymore because we understand that it...
We don't, but people do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's a fact, though. I mean, you look at that game, and it's as simple as this. If Lamar plays, the Ravens have a chance. If he doesn't, the Ravens don't, and the Bengals are going to advance. And so, I mean, I'll be watching that all week. If Lamar does play and he is, let's even say, 80% of what he is, of who he is, Ravens can win that game. I mean, I wouldn't sleep on the Ravens, but it's just shaping up for two duds with the Skylar Thompson Dolphins against the Bills and what would be the Tyler Huntley or Anthony Brown Ravens against the Bengals. And that's why I think you're seeing them in the slots that they're in. Like, you know, like...
There's no way the Bills lose, right? Like, no way?
I've watched too much NFL to believe that there's a 0% chance.
Okay, that's fair.
And I don't... I think we're overlooking that. Like, I was talking to CDOT about this earlier. Yes, you have these three games, and I'm going to the NFC with this.
No, you're good.
Too.
Yeah.
Seahawks and 49ers, Dolphins and Bills, Ravens and Bengals. I understand all the points about the quarterbacks. These are still three division teams.
Right.
We have seen situations where Derek Carr, who stinks so bad, they showed him the door with two games to go, has beaten Patrick Mahomes or been in games with Patrick Mahomes. Anything can happen. Like, I know where we're at with this, where we just assume that the 49ers, who are so hot, are going to roll over the Seahawks. Man, the NFC West is always random.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the Dolphins and the Bills. I I feel a little bit better about Teddy Bridgewater than Skylar Thompson, and we'll see what they do there. It looks like Thompson's going to start.
Ema, baby.
You never know. You never know. Mike McDaniel's pretty smart. And then in Baltimore, same thing. I would be a lot more confident in Huntley over the third string in Brown. Ultimate confidence in Jackson, but you still never know. I think there's an upset in one of these three division games. One of the three. I don't know which one it's going to be.
So it's either be one of the two seeds or a three seed that gets upset.
Yes. To me, you're not going to get three division games on wild card weekend and have it go scratch. You're just not. So pick what you think. I think one of them is going to go the other
way. Would you rather have the Dolphins beat the Bills or the Ravens beat the Bengals?
I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you want the Dolphins to beat the Bills. Like, you want the
I'm the opposite. I don't want to play Cincinnati.
Well,
what gives you the initial take that you think the Chiefs can beat Cincinnati?
Well, my thinking there is it just locks up Arrowhead.
That's fair.
I think the Chiefs can beat the Bengals. I think this thing where the Bengals have the Chiefs number a little bit, especially the last time, was the Chiefs hurting themselves. They should have won that game.
They've done it every game.
I know.
But every game is the same game.
It's self-inflicted.
It's Groundhogs.
A lot of times against the Bengals, it's self-inflicted, though. It's not like...
Hasn't every single one been that way?
The Bills and Chargers have had games where they come into Kansas City and they beat them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these Bengals losses have been... The one in Cincinnati in the regular season, Cincinnati beat them. Those other two that people are talking about, to me, a lot of the Chiefs' problems were self-inflicted. So if they clean that up, I think they can beat the Bengals. It's tough in Kansas City because I think you're rooting really hard for the anti-destiny, anti-Cinderella, anti-miracle E30 story, which is DeMar Hamlin and the Bills winning the Super Bowl. Because the sooner the Bills are out, the sooner that you know that everything's going to be at Arrowhead. And I think you're rooting for that this weekend. I don't think it's likely. I think the Dolphins with Skylar Thompson are the least likely to win. But, I find the Seahawks are probably the most likely, which I'm not even all that confident in myself. I'm not confident. It's a weird thing with these three division games because I'm not confident in any team by themselves isolated, but I just know in my bones that there will be a division upset.
Okay.
If we get back here
and
there's no division upset next Wednesday,
oh, God.
I'll bring you more Skittles. How about that?
I would enjoy that. If there is an upset, I'll bring you a bag of almonds. Okay. That's what you eat today.
I'm on a 2023 diet. I can't afford Skittles.
Hey,
I gotta have these disgusting almonds.
That's not gonna eat these every day.
No. I mean,
I've earned these damn things.
I've seen you a couple times this year, and you always have Skittles.
No, I had jelly beans one time.
That's right.
So
old beans.
They were old. They were two Easters old.
Dusty said, "Pete, why don't you enjoy a jelly bean?" And I almost broke my tooth off.
True story. So there is an AFC Championship game to be played eventually. If it is Chiefs and Bills, there's another couple scenarios, but. You're saying that it's Atlanta is where they're leaning for a neutral site for this game?
A-Town, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dirty South.
Yeah.
Home of Ludacris.
As Bob on Fesco in the Morning described today, I mean, he had notes. I have heard Atlanta separately, but he had notes that the Chiefs have not really wanted to travel east. The Bills haven't really wanted to travel west. And so they've come to terms with both traveling south to an extent. We're meeting in the middle.
So they're really doing this? The NFL's really getting both teams throwing out a piece of paper and saying, here's the five locations, circle which one is your first, second, and third, and then we'll try to accommodate.
I don't like you just talked about jelly beans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the juju that this is creating between the two franchises. Like,
well, it's the NFL trying to do this. They're trying to cause a wedge in the fan bases and the teams.
But to me, if I'm the players, right, and you're putting yourself in the shoes of the players, if I'm the Chargers, if I'm the Jaguars, if I'm the Ravens, if I'm the Bengals, I'm ticked that everyone is so concerned with where the Chiefs and the Bills are going to play. That is ultimate bulletin board material. The Chiefs and Andy Reid hate bulletin board material. They can't control this. This is incidental. This is the NFL. This is the talking heads. Everyone's interested in where they're going to play. It would be annoying me to pieces if I'm the LA Chargers, if I'm Joey Bosa, and I'm saying, oh, look at NFL Network. Oh, they're discussing where the Chiefs and Bills are going to play. Like, that would drive me insane. And like in an already uber competitive sport, I just don't like the added motivation that it's given all these other teams.
You just don't like the predestined fate that they think that the AFC is going to.
Just don't like the discussion when three results, the Chiefs winning and the Bills winning twice, has to happen. Like, I wouldn't like it in Buffalo either. There's one thing the Chiefs and Bills could agree upon right now. It's like this predetermined result that's going to include the Bills and Chiefs playing elsewhere. I'd be like, screw this if you're the Bengals, or screw this if you're the Ravens, or...
Well, the Ravens don't have a quarterback right now. The Dolphins don't have a quarterback. The Jags lucked in.
They lucked. They won their way in.
I mean, they got to play Josh Dobbs. That guy sucks. No emotion.
Yeah.
The zero eyebrow thing is probably why, but just no emotion on that guy.
Well, that one, who cares?
And they barely won that game. He threw a pick six.
Doesn't matter about the eyebrows. Kadarius Toney doesn't have any eyebrows. That's fine.
No, but he's got a grill.
And he
has personality.
And he's fast.
He was here for 5 minutes, and they asked him who his best friend was on the team, and it went viral.
He quietly is the best weapon the Chiefs have.
Quietly? I think it's pretty loud that he's...
Maybe here. I don't think the rest of the world knows.
I bet New York hates it. Five touchdowns already or something like that, or three touchdowns. He had zero,
I have
17 games.
I will tell you this.
Yeah.
Any kind of time I tweet about Tony and refer to the first round... I'm beginning to get those Giants fans in my mentions that are like, yeah, we'll see about his hamstring. Hamstring made of glass, so on and so forth. They are already nervous about how Tony has looked. Trust me.
Yeah, they should. He's the next Tyreek Hill sort of player for this team. Not the next Tyreek Hill, but he's the next type of guy on this team where it's like, you know, F it, Tony down there somewhere.
You know what I like about you?
What's that?
You're a confident man.
I haven't been wrong yet this year. I said Mahomes is going to win MVP. Is he going to win MVP?
Yes.
Okay. Jefferson going to be the offensive player of the year?
Yes.
Did the Chiefs win more than 10.5 games?
They did.
All right. With that, we get to your questions next. It's the Arrowhead Pride mailbag, 913-586-716. If you have a question for Pete, I will ask it, football-related, Chiefs-related. Also, go to Twitter, at Arrowhead Pride.
Get those lottery numbers for me right about it.
Lottery numbers?
They're in the break.
I don't know lottery. I know football. Okay. That next on Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Chris Nocero, Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens here. That's the trio on an Arrowhead Pride Wednesday. You know Chris is here because the beats are a little more, you know, funky.
You're saying that.
Grant always plays electric guitar.
Grant.
Chris plays beats.
Grant doesn't have funky beats in his repertoire.
It just seems like it's always like, and then you get Chris and it's like, welcome back.
Yeah, a lot more hip movement when Chris is on the ones and twos.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
This isn't really a question, but it's kind of refers to what we were just talking about. By the way, if you do have a question for Pete, 913-586-7610, A, do you still have your Hulk Hogan bobblehead?
I didn't have a Hulk Hogan bobblehead, but I had a wrestle buddy when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
You know the Hulk Hogan wrestle buddy where you beat it up and you pin it, 1, 2, 3?
Okay. What was Pete Sweeney's finisher when he was a kid?
Oh, man, dropping the elbow drop.
Okay. Yeah. Serious talk, though. Somebody had a question on Arrowhead Pride, at Arrowhead Pride on Twitter, for the mailbag, which normally there is an open for that, but it's okay. We can do it right now.
Every week, send us your questions on Twitter, at Arrowhead Pride, and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
That's the pizza bag at Taco Bell.
You were asking for the electric guitar. There it is.
There we are. So, question on Arrowhead Pride was, have we seen Clyde Edwards-Helaire play his last game as a Chief?
I think it feels like more yes than no at this stage.
Great political response.
I do. Sometimes those things change. Look no further than L.A., where Cam Akers seemed like he was done with that team and came back and was their starter again. But I think the Chiefs have moved on, right? I think they know what they have in Isaiah Pacheco. They know what they have in Jerick McKinnon. Think about it, though. McKinnon's making himself a little bit of money right now. I mean, he's definitely capturing the attention of the rest of the teams in the NFL. I know he's a 30-year-old running back, so I wouldn't 100% rule out Clyde, but if I had to go one way or the other, I would tell you that I think he's in store for a change of scenery in 2023.
The other question that we have, or another question we have on Arrowhead Pride's Twitter feed was, when does Lucas Niang bring back his right tackle claim?
I thought when the Chiefs' offensive line was struggling in the middle of the year, they might make the shift to Niang. Because you look at the rest of the line, left to right with Brown and Tooney and Humphrey and Smith, they weren't replacing any of those guys, Luke Sniang. I thought Wiley might have been someone they tried to upgrade, and maybe that could make the whole line better. They stuck with Wiley. I don't see that changing now. And so now, so long as he is healthy and can put in this calendar year, I think maybe you start to see him get an opportunity in training camp. I also think if there were to be an injury in the playoffs, you might see Lucas Niang in one of those tackle positions.
Speaking of the playoffs, this is from the 913. Again, you can text it, 913-586-7610. If you have a question for Pete, he does run the greatest Chiefs website there is. You all know it because you are all on it. But one question from the 913 says, does Ronald Jones get a good amount of carries in the playoffs? And I have a follow-up question. Go ahead.
I don't think so. I think what you saw in Week 18 was them saving themselves Pacheco. If you're being honest with yourself, though, Ronald Jones looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Rested.
I would say no. I would say I bet you those carries go to Pacheco. But would I be stunned if they go with Jones? No, he looked pretty good in that Week 18 game. But you're asking me a question, so I'd say I think they really like what they have in Pacheco.
Does anything really drastically change from their way that they've ran the offense the last 4 weeks? Because a lot of people will say, hey, you know, like they don't want to show anything. They got four pretty bad opponents.
We've been talking about it for a couple weeks now. We've kind of felt like idiots when Hardman is not active, but we've been waiting for Tony and Hardman to be active at the same time. These are two speedsters. Juju Smith-Schuster's talked to me about it. I've talked to Patrick Mahomes about it. They just want the speed at the same time back in the lineup, and we really have not had an opportunity to see these two guys together. Kadarius Tony and Hardman were on the field week 9 together. Tony only had 9 snaps that week. That was his debut, and so I think what can Andy Reid do with these two guys, with misdirection, with getting the defense to move, and so on and so forth, and I'm eager to see it.
From the 816 on the text line, the 310, he mentions one of the four All-Pro players today announced by the Chiefs: Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, and Tommy Townsend. Says if he's the All-Pro punter, isn't he the All-Pro holder?
Yeah, hold up. I would tell you that I think Tommy Townsend has been great for the Chiefs when it comes to punting.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing to me was more annoying than anything else, but I do think it re-locked him in and refocused him a bit to get that part right, and we saw a really nice game from him holding-wise and punting-wise to end the season, and I just think at this point you carry that into the playoffs. I think at this stage, love you some Dustin Colquitt, the greatest punter in Chiefs history, but I think the less that we can hear from Colquitt at this stage, the better.
Yeah, that's fair. I think he's also got a little bit of sour grapes, but that's just me. I don't know the guy. I'm sure he's fine. I'll say this. I know you don't know much about future contracts and stuff like this. This one regards the defensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs who can make a lot of money next year. There's no way the Chiefs trade him or try to get rid of Chris Jones in any way, shape, or form, right? You'd have to be kind of crazy to do so.
I think he'll play out the final year of his contract, which would be next year. And, you know, I think by the end of that, hopefully you're in a position with Orlando Brown where you're not having to franchise tag him again or flirt with that. And maybe he gets franchise tagged, and then you move the rights like you saw with Frank Clark to Kansas City. Brett Veach just has shown a tendency not to want to necessarily lean into long-term contracts with guys who are about 28, 29, 30, which Jones is. But he's no doubt going to want a new contract, I think, this offseason. So we should, again, see contract talks between Brown and the Chiefs and Jones and the Chiefs. And the fortunate thing is we don't have to start those stories, hopefully, for a couple weeks. And I'm talking about 4 weeks would be nice. Five weeks.
Okay. Yeah. You want to go all the way to the Super Bowl?
Arizona. Yeah, I want to go from Atlanta to Arizona.
Okay. Which place would you rather stay at, Atlanta or Arizona?
I have never been to Atlanta.
Never been to Atlanta.
I've been to Arizona.
Oh,
and I'm not a big hidden door guy, right?
Okay.
Like if it's going well and you're enjoying it, just stick with what you got. So I, at this stage, I would take Arizona. But who knows? Maybe I'll go to Atlanta and enjoy it.
You might have to go to Magic City and get those wings. If you don't know, you should look that up.
Is this a James Harden reference?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think I know.
Yeah, man.
I think I know.
Magic City Wings. That's what you go there for. You go for the wings. At least that's what people say. What's coming up for you the rest of the bye week? You're going to probably get some sleep, eat some more almonds. what's Pete Sweeney doing?
I have an article coming out for .com, SBNation.com, ranking the most likely upsets of Wild Card Weekend. That happens tomorrow, but we're on the local level, reviewing the Chiefs, what they need to do better. We got some good stuff up there for now. If there's any news that breaks, any injury updates, we'll keep you locked in at arrowheadpride.com. But they shouldn't really reconvene until Friday. So as Ron mentioned, he'll have five things to watch this Wild Card Weekend. And we'll be keeping an eye on Sunday who these Kansas City Chiefs will play. We'll find out on here.
Yeah.
And there's no division upset next Wednesday.
Oh, God.
I'll bring you more Skittles. How about that?
I would enjoy that. And if there is an upset, I'll bring you a bag of almonds. Okay. That's what you eat today.
Yeah, I'm on a 2023 diet. I can't afford Skittles.
Hey,
I
got to
have these disgusting almonds.
That's not going to eat these every day.
No. I mean,
I've earned these damn things.
I've seen you a couple times this year, and you always have Skittles.
No, I had jelly beans one time.
That's right.
So
old beans.
They were old. They were two Easters old.
Dusty said, Pete, why don't you enjoy a jelly bean? And I almost broke my tooth off.
It's a true story. So there is an AFC Championship game to be played eventually. If it is Chiefs and Bills, there's another couple scenarios. But you're saying that it's Atlanta is where they're leaning for a neutral site for this game?
A-Town, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dirty South.
Yeah.
Home of Ludacris.
As Bob on Fesco in the Morning described today, I mean, he had notes. I have heard Atlanta separately, but he had notes that the Chiefs have not really wanted to travel east. The Bills haven't really wanted to travel west. And so they've come to terms with both traveling south to an extent. We're meeting in the middle.
And so they're really doing this? The NFL's really getting both teams throwing out a piece of paper and saying, here's the five locations. Circle which one is your first, second, and third, and then we'll try to accommodate.
I don't like you just talked about jelly beans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the juju that this is creating between the two franchises. Like,
well, it's the NFL trying to do this. They're trying to cause a wedge in the fan bases and the teams.
But to me, if I'm the players, right, and you're putting yourself in the shoes of the players, if I'm the Chargers, if I'm the Jaguars, if I'm the Ravens, and I'm the Bengals, I'm ticked that everyone is so concerned with where the Chiefs and the Bills are going to play. That is ultimate bulletin board material. The Chiefs and Andy Reid hate bulletin board material. They can't control this. This is incidental. This is the NFL. This is the talking heads. Everyone's interested in where they're going to play. It would be annoying me to pieces if I'm the LA Chargers, if I'm Joey Bosa, and I'm saying, oh, look at NFL Network. Oh, they're discussing where the Chiefs and Bills are going to play. Like, that would drive me insane. And, like, in an already uber-competitive sport, I just don't like the added motivation that it's given all these other teams.
You just don't like the predestined fate that they think that the AFC is going to?
Just don't like the discussion when three results, the Chiefs winning and the Bills winning twice, has to happen. Like, I wouldn't like it in Buffalo either. There's one thing the Chiefs and Bills could agree upon right now. It's, like, this predetermined result that's going to include the Bills and Chiefs playing elsewhere. I'd be like, screw this if you're the Bengals, or screw this if you're the Ravens, or...
Well, the Ravens don't have a quarterback right now. The Dolphins don't have a quarterback. The Jags lucked in.
They lucked? They won their way in.
I mean, they got to play Josh Dobbs. That guy sucks. No emotion.
Yeah.
The zero eyebrow thing is probably why, but just no emotion on that guy.
Well, that one, who cares?
And they barely won that game. He threw a pick six.
Doesn't matter about the eyebrows. Kadarius Toney doesn't have any eyebrows. That's fine.
No, but he's got a grill.
And he
has personality.
And he's fast.
He was here for 5 minutes, and they asked him who his best friend was on the team, and it went viral.
He quietly is the best weapon the Chiefs have.
Quietly? I think it's pretty loud that he's...
Maybe here. I don't think the rest of the world knows.
I bet New York hates it. Five touchdowns already or something like that, or three touchdowns. He had zero,
I have
17 games.
I will tell you this.
Yeah.
Any kind of time I tweet about Tony and refer to the first round, I'm beginning to get those Giants fans in my mentions that are like, yeah, we'll see about his hamstring. Hamstring made of glass, so on and so forth. They are already nervous about how Tony has looked. Trust me.
Yeah, they should. He's the Tyreek Hill. He's the next Tyreek Hill sort of player for this team. Not the next Tyreek Hill, but he's the next type of guy on this team where it's like, you know, F it, Tony down there somewhere.
You know what I like about you?
What's up?
You're a confident man.
I haven't been wrong yet this year. I said Mahomes is going to win MVP. Is he going to win MVP?
Yes.
Okay. What else is Justin say? Jefferson going to be the offensive player of the year?
Yes.
Did the Chiefs win more than 10.5 games?
They did.
All right. With that, we get to your questions next. It's the Arrowhead Pride mailbag, 913-586-716. If you have a question for Pete, I will ask it, football-related, Chiefs-related. Also, go to Twitter, at Arrowhead Pride.
Get those lottery numbers for me right about it.
Lottery numbers?
During the break.
I don't know lottery. I know football. Okay. That next on Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Kristen Nocero, Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens here. That's the trio on an Arrowhead Pride Wednesday. You know Chris is here because the beats are a little more, you know, funky.
You're saying that.
Grant always plays electric guitar.
Grant.
Chris plays beats.
Grant doesn't have funky beats in his repertoire.
It just seems like it's always like. And then you get Chris and it's like. Welcome back.
Yeah, a lot more hip movement when Chris is on the. On the ones and twos.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
This isn't really a question, but it's kind of refers to what we were just talking about. By the way, if you do have a question for Pete, 913-586-7610, do you still have your Hulk Hogan bobblehead?
I didn't have a Hulk Hogan bobblehead, but I had a wrestle buddy when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
You know the Hulk Hogan wrestle buddy where you beat it up and you pin it 1, 2, 3?
Okay. What was Pete Sweeney's finisher when he was a kid?
Oh, man, dropping the elbow drop.
Okay. Yeah. Serious talk, though. Somebody had a question on Arrowhead Pride, at Arrowhead Pride on Twitter, for the mailbag, which normally there is an open for that, but it's okay. We can do it right now.
Every week, send us your questions on Twitter, at Arrowhead Pride, and at 610 Sports KC.
Checking eardrums, man.
Now it's time for the mail.
Oh, yeah, that's the pizza bag at Taco Bell.
You were asking for the electric guitar. There it is.
There we are. So, question on Arrowhead Pride was, have we seen Clyde Edwards-Helaire play his last game as a Chief?
I think it feels like more yes than no at this stage.
Great political response.
I do. Sometimes those things change. Look no further than L.A., where Cam Akers seemed like he was done with that team and came back and was their starter again. But I think the Chiefs have moved on, right? I think they know what they have in Isaiah Pacheco. They know what they have in Jerick McKinnon. Think about it, though. McKinnon's making himself a little bit of money right now. I mean, he's definitely capturing the attention of the rest of the teams in the NFL. I know he's a 30-year-old running back, so I wouldn't 100% rule out Clyde, but if I had to go one way or the other, I would tell you that I think he's in store for a change of scenery in 2023.
The other question that we have, or another question we have on Arrowhead Pride's Twitter feed was, when does Lucas Niang bring back his right tackle claim?
I thought when the Chiefs' offensive line was struggling in the middle of the year, they might make the shift to Niang. Because you look at the rest of the line, left to right with Brown and Tooney and Humphrey and Smith, they weren't replacing any of those guys. Luke Sniang. I thought Wiley might have been someone they tried to upgrade, and maybe that could make the whole line better. They stuck with Wiley. I don't see that changing now. And so now, so long as he is healthy and can put in this calendar year, I think maybe you start to see him get an opportunity in training camp. I also think if there were to be an injury in the playoffs, you might see Luke Sniang in one of those tackle positions.
Speaking of the playoffs, this is from the 913. Again, you can text it, 913-586-716. If you have a question for Pete, he does run the greatest Chiefs website there is. You all know because you are all on it. But one question from the 913 says, does Ronald Jones get a good amount of carries in the playoffs? And I have a follow-up question. Go ahead.
I don't think so. I think what you saw in Week 18 was them saving themselves Pacheco. If you're being honest with yourself, though, Ronald Jones looked pretty good.
Rested.
I would say... No, I would say I bet you those carries go to Pacheco. But would I be stunned if they go with Jones? No, he looked pretty good in that Week 18 game. But you're asking me a question, so I'd say I think they really like what they have in Pacheco.
Does anything really drastically change from their way that they've ran the offense the last 4 weeks? Because a lot of people will say, hey, you know, like they don't want to show anything. They got four pretty bad opponents.
We've been talking about it for a couple weeks now. We've kind of felt like idiots when Hardman is not active, but we've been waiting for Tony and Hardman to be active at the same time. These are two speedsters. Juju Smith-Schuster's talked to me about it. I've talked to Patrick Mahomes about it. They just want the speed at the same time back in the lineup, and we really have not had an opportunity to see these two guys together. Kadarius Toney and Hardman were on the field week 9 together. Toney only had 9 snaps that week. That was his debut, and so I think what can Andy Reid do with these two guys, with misdirection, with getting the defense to move, and so on and so forth, and I'm eager to see it.
From the 816 on the text line, the 310, he mentions one of the four All-Pro players today announced by the Chiefs: Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, and Tommy Townsend. Says if he's the All-Pro punter, isn't he the All-Pro holder?
Yeah, hold up. I would tell you that I think Tommy Townsend has been great for the Chiefs when it comes to punting.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing to me was more annoying than anything else, but I do think it re-locked him in and refocused him a bit to get that part right, and we saw a really nice game from him holding-wise and punting-wise to end the season, and I just think at this point you carry that into the playoffs. I think at this stage, love you some Dustin Colquitt, the greatest punter in Chiefs history, but I think the less that we can hear from Colquitt at this stage, the better.
Yeah, that's fair. I think he's also got a little bit of sour grapes, but that's just me. I don't know the guy. I'm sure he's fine. I'll say this. I know you don't know much about future contracts and stuff like this. This one regards the defensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs who can make a lot of money next year. There's no way the Chiefs trade him or try to get rid of Chris Jones in any way, shape, or form, right? You'd have to be kind of crazy to do so.
I think he'll play out the final year of his contract, which would be next year. And, you know, I think by the end of that, hopefully you're in a position with Orlando Brown where you're not having to franchise tag him again or flirt with that. And maybe he gets franchise tagged and then you move the rights like you saw with Frank Clark to Kansas City. Brett Veach just has shown a tendency not to want to necessarily lean into long-term contracts with guys who are about 28, 29, 30, which Jones is. But he's no doubt going to want a new contract, I think, this offseason. So we should, again, see contract talks between Brown and the Chiefs and Jones and the Chiefs. And the fortunate thing is we don't have to start those stories, hopefully, for a couple weeks. And I'm talking about 4 weeks would be nice. Five weeks.
Okay. Yeah. You want to go all the way to the Super Bowl?
Arizona. Yeah, I want to go from Atlanta to Arizona.
Okay. Which place would you rather stay at, Atlanta or Arizona?
I have never been to Atlanta.
Never been to Atlanta.
I've been to Arizona.
Oh, man.
And I'm not a big hidden door guy, right?
Okay.
Like if it's going well and you're enjoying it, just stick with what you got. So at this stage, I would take Arizona. But who knows? Maybe I'll go to Atlanta and enjoy it.
You might have to go to Magic City and get those wings. If you don't know, you should look that up.
That's Is this a James Harden reference?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think I know.
Yeah, man.
I think I know.
Magic City wings. That's what you go there for. You go for the wings. At least that's what people say. What's coming up for you the rest of the bye week? You're going to probably get some sleep, eat some more almonds. What's Pete Sweeney doing?
I have an article coming out for .com, SBNation.com, ranking the most likely upsets of Wild Card Weekend. That happens tomorrow, but we're on the local level, reviewing the Chiefs, what they need to do better. We got some good stuff up there for now. If there's any news that breaks, any injury updates, we'll keep you locked in at arrowheadpride.com. But they shouldn't really reconvene until Friday. So as Ron mentioned, he'll have 5 things to watch this Wild Card weekend. And we'll be keeping an eye on Sunday who these Kansas City Chiefs will play. We'll find out on Sunday.
Who do you want it to be? Like, who do you want it to be?
Who do I want it to be?
Yeah, and who do you think? You think it'll be Jacksonville? We've gotten that out of the way.
I think it'll be Jacksonville.
You want Miami?
I don't.
You want a little Tyreek in Kansas City?
I'm a big, like, I would like to see the best possible game guy. I know that that's a little nerve-wracking. I'd like to see Chiefs and Chargers one more dance. I think that's the best possible
game. You're sick. You're sick if you want
to see
that.
I think that's the best possible game.
I'm done with the best possible.
You want the easiest.
Yes.
Give you Miami.
Yes.
All right.
No, really give us Baltimore.
It would be Miami. Skylar Thompson, Miami would be the easiest.
But I think Tua would play that game. Or do you think Tua is done?
I don't think he's playing again this year.
That'd be smart.
Yeah, I think he's done.
Man, Skylar Thompson. We might see Grant Nicholson, who normally does his show there, in a K-State jersey.
Oh, no, I hope not.
Why? He's a Skylar Thompson. It's a neutral fan.
I like the Unocero vibe.
Okay.
Yeah.
He throws them down, man.
I do love Grant, too.
Yeah. Well, thanks to Chris Sunicero. Thanks to you. This is Arrowhead Pride. It is a wrap for this Wednesday. We'll be back next Wednesday, and we'll get into the after hours coming up from 7 to 9. Thanks to everybody that listened. Thanks to Ron Kopp. We're out of here, Kansas City.